Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/FTSW. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Well, hello!
Hello, Zuko here. But I guess you probably already know me.
You guys here for a rematch?
Negatory!
I think it's time I joined your group and taught the Avatar firebending.
Zuko, yes! Why would I be expecting anyone different?
Greetings, my good Hotman.
We've been through so many things together.
Baby, you're my forever girl.
It'll be okay. It's not forever.
That's what I'd say, too.
Hotman? Hotman? Hotman?
My first girlfriend turned into the moon. That's rough, buddy.
Hotman? Hotman?
I got a pretty good look at you.
Let them rot.
I'll take that as a thank you.
Stay flaming, Hotman.
Stop calling me that.
Shh. I'm trying to watch.
Hello and welcome to From the Spirit World, a legendary Avatar The Last Airbender and the Legend of Korra podcast for DongBuFang.net. I am your main host, Dylan, and today I'm joined by Mel.
Hello.
Allie.
Hello.
Sam.
Yo.
And Brittany.
Hi.
That was enthusiastic. Today we'll be discussing The Search Part 1, the latest comic series thing by Gene Yang, who everyone loves, of course, and we will be, kind of reviewing it, discussing it, and debating, probably a lot of debating, because some of us, or at least one of us, has different opinions than the rest, so, yeah. Email us at dylan@dongbufang.net and post on the DF forums at dongbufang.net/forums. And do post, because it's kind of dead there right now. But yeah. Anyway, first we should discuss news, I guess, because this is like the first main cast in a while. And the news is that there is no news as of today.
There is no news.
Well, this is... Okay, so we're recording this on the 29th, and I'll post it on 29th.
This is like meta news.
But yeah, so Janet Varney tweeted April, and then that wasn't true. So, yeah.
Oh, it turned out not to be, like, true at all.
Yeah, she was like... She was like, I was misinformed or something. Yeah. She's like, well, JK. Anyway, it seems unlikely that it's going to be April, considering they have done absolutely no promotion, but it's still possible, I think.
Could be end of April.
Could be end of April. It's probably, I don't know, maybe May, maybe they'll push it to fall. I don't know. Who knows?
Oh my god,
I'll leap
off a building.
Do not say that. I'm bad enough if they push it to the summer. Come on.
I don't know. I'm hoping for mid-May. Let's stay realistic, but anyway, yeah. Let us start discussing The Search. The Search came out like a week ago, part one. Part two's coming out, I don't know, over the summer, I think. And probably part three in like September, although I don't think they've announced it. Gene Yang, Guru Hiru again on the art, and yeah, let's go around. And if you are frustrated by the initial negativity, a different reaction will come. Mel, what did you think of The Search?
I mean, it was okay, it was fine, it was great, until that thing at the end happened, and then everything...
Good point. Okay, we're not going to do spoilers yet. And I'll say when to stop listening if you haven't read it. Okay, so yeah, no spoilers in the initial reactions, and then we'll like go into like quote unquote spoilers.
Why would they listen to this podcast if they haven't read it?
To give my initial reaction, Sam.
To see if it's good or not, so if they want to buy it or not. Anyway, go.
I was okay pretty much with most of it until the very end, so that's the only thing I have major issue with. And I guess some minor plot things, but it was mostly that thing.
Okay. Yeah, that's. I think that's going to be what all the reactions are. Sam, what did you think?
I didn't really like it. It was like, meh. Here we are. I didn't like how the characters were handled yet again. They're handled similarly in The Search. It wasn't my cup of tea.
Okay.
I don't even like tea.
So.
How can you not like tea?
You said the wrong thing to Allie.
Yeah, Allie, what did you think?
Meh. I mean, what Mel said, the thing at the end, and also, like, the transitioning between flashbacks and stuff and, like, scenes was not too great. Like, it was really awkward. But, I mean, art was good, story was good until the end, I guess. And the Katang was cute.
Okay.
The 5 seconds of Katang.
Oh, the 5 seconds, yeah. That was actually one of my least favorite things in it, but we'll discuss
Sweetie,
that.
Are you kidding me?
Okay, Britt, what did you think?
I didn't like it. Thing at the end, major rage from me, and then the characters were all really flat. And, like, there was some interesting story plot points, but they kind of felt like they didn't, like, add up to making it good because the other things were bad. And all the characters were really flat. I think I mentioned that already, but yeah, they were.
Hmm. Okay. And maybe my expectations have just been lowered so much. But I actually really liked the Search Part 1. Like, like, it must have been the lowered expectations. But I thought a lot of what it did was really good. The twist at the end really didn't bother me at all, and we will discuss that in depth.
Different.
And I thought a lot of the... Tapping. But a lot of the... Yeah. I thought that a lot of the story structure that it employed in this was not original, but it worked really well. And a lot of really good art by Guru Hiru in this, and yeah. I know, I'd recommend it. even if, like, you... Even
well, most you're the oddball out.
Most people don't haven't liked this, but I still think even if you haven't, you should probably read it, just to, like, see what happened, you know? Do you agree with that?
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
Or, I guess.
If you want to ruin your life, read
okay.
this.
Okay, well, you may rage at it, but I don't think so. We'll discuss more in depth. Okay, so yeah, let's get into spoilers now. So if you haven't read The Search yet, we're going to talk about the ending and the middle.
Hey!
And Britt. But yeah.
On in her house.
I know, I don't know. But yeah.
Oh my god.
Okay, but yeah, so stop listening now if... You don't want to hear spoilers. Okay, let's talk about the ending, because that's the most significant thing. You
seemed to be the point of the entire comic.
It was leading there the entire time.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I would have expected if I didn't know there was a twist, but like it was very guessable, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Who had the most problems with the ending? I don't know who's raging the most. Let's start with Mel. Mel, why do you absolutely hate the fact that Zuko might not be descended from Ozai?
Okay, well, first of all, the fact that if it's true and they chose to reveal it in a comic book by Gene Yang is a problem in itself. Which is why I don't think it's actually true, and I guess I'll explain why that is, like, when we get to talking about it more. But I mean, part of the problem is that they made such a big, huge deal about Zuko being descended from both Sozin and Roku, and how that made, you know, that was his destiny then to restore and balance and all that good stuff. I mean, granted, you could say, well, he was adopted, technically, you could say, like, he was the adopted son of Ozai, and then, you know, you've got descent that way, but they made such a huge deal that you're descended from both Sozin and Roku, the two people who first were in conflict in the war, and it's your duty to go take care of that. And also, too, I mean, not that him not being related to Zuko changes much, or being related to Ozai changes much, because, you know, they basically, assuming it's true, they thought they were related the whole time. But it essentially became he was struggling with his stepfather as opposed to his real father. And also, they were animated basically identical. Like, Ozai and Zuko look identical. I mean, I have many problems with this.
Okay. Someone jump on.
I would also agree that it's not going to be true because of how different they made Zuko's supposed actual father in Ozai look, and how Zuko doesn't look anything like him. And as a genetics major, I would like to say that is impossible.
I feel like I read somewhere that he was supposed to look like a younger Ozai.
Yeah. Like, that was the thing when they revealed Ozai's face. Everyone was like, basically looks like an older Zuko without a scar.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a thing. So they completely changed their minds on his entire story plot after they, like, the show ended, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Or it's not true.
Sam?
I feel like I'm really strongly leaning towards it's Azula lying. That's Azula always lies, and mm-hmm.
That was
like
my
her
thing
boot
too.
Oh yeah, like she had it behind her back, and then it was in her boot.
Yeah. So
yeah,
after
the initial moments of raging, that was the conclusion I came to.
Yeah, I think that she is lying to him, like that she knew that he would like go through her stuff, and she planted that, and she wrote that. So that's my opinion.
But then I also feel like, why are the flashbacks there if it's all a lie?
Who knows?
To mess with us. I mean, it's I guess arrogance on the part of the author, purposely putting things in a certain order to make you think one thing, and then it's...
Yeah. I know, but I hate that so much.
Okay.
Well, I can't help you.
So I think Allie's actually right here.
Yeah, what?
For
is
once,
wow.
Yeah.
Never right.
Okay, maybe it's being optimistic, but if this turned out not to be true, then the entire point of this part one would be gone.
Yeah,
unless the point is the fact that she loved this man and she went to go find him after she was banished.
I mean, yeah, but
dun,
like,
dun, dun,
yeah, I see that, but and that's where they're leading with that part. But like, there's significant foreshadowing for this twist throughout the entire book. And
I cannot see that as possible in any way.
Well, okay, so let me explain it for another way. Within the context of the book, I strongly got the impression that it was true for multiple reasons. One, we saw in the flashbacks her writing the letter to him, and there's like a secret in it, and we saw the double agent maid worker lady going to Ozai with the letter saying this one has a twist in it that you need to see. That's presented in a factual light, not in something that could be manipulated by Azula. And
yeah, but we never do know what letter he reads.
We never know, but that was foreshadowing this thing, foreshadowing the end. And then also, I also just don't get the impression that Azula would be capable of this right now. I thought
she's crazy.
I thought how she's presented crazy. Was really interesting, and she seemed more unhinged than hinged. And
she was in there with Ozai, and Ozai is less unhinged, and was like, here, I have plan.
So this is true, but I don't know where this would lead. Is maybe unless they're maybe trying to get
now I feel like it's real.
Get Azula back on the throne, you know.
My deal is that Azula might be. I mean, this might be her way to try and delegitimize him.
I feel like that's a good point. But then, what Dylan just said—that flashback with like the letter. To like showing the letter to Ozai, like, oh, here's a twist. Like, what
I
else
mean,
could
yeah.
it really be?
I mean, obviously, the obvious
I'm going
thing,
to leave
probably
Ozai.
The most correct thing to think is that yeah, the letter said what Zuko read, but at the same time, we still don't know exactly what Ozai read.
I really think you should be like stupid enough to do that. Also,
yeah, no code names or anything.
That anyone could read our son, Zuko. I mean.
She's like,
maybe
Zuko,
Ozai doesn't know how to read
son,
Chinese.
Zuko. It's your son Zuko, my son Zuko. We have a son named
maybe
Zuko.
Maybe it's a deep.
Okay, well, so the fact that she was sending letters before this one and never mentioned that he was their son meant that she was probably skeptical, but then she eventually grew trust for the person who was delivering them, and so finally she like revealed a secret within it.
Oops.
Yeah.
Backfired.
I could see this working towards a larger like plot line of Azula and Ozai trying to like get Zuko off the throne, and this book still would have significance in the fact that it has Ursa's past, but it would definitely take something away from it. Okay, let's talk about why this twist bothers everyone so much. So Mel brought up something that I think is completely legitimate, and that the show significantly talks about the significance of Zuko being from these two sides, specifically in Avatar and the Fire Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And it does make a big deal out of it,
at least at the end.
But I feel like there's objections you all have beyond that. Do you say
yeah.
that? Do you have like personal objections to this? Like
it's like a fan fiction.
I am personally
it's like
offended.
Fan fiction. It simplifies the storyline into just dramatics.
Yeah, into dramatics. It has an OC.
It does have an OC.
it's like a fan fiction. It's like. Yeah, I can't describe it any other way. It's trying to alter a big plot that was in the show.
Also, I didn't understand, like, the end where he, like, goes off and becomes a hobo. Like, I really didn't get that.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's leading to the next one. But, yeah, that was a little bit at the end.
The hobo.
I really didn't get it. Like, what
he's
is
not
he
becoming a hobo. He's like, what is he, searching for Ursa or something?
I don't know. No, he knows where he went off into the forest.
And they find each other.
And he finds, like, the big spirit wolf thing.
Oh, did he find it? Wait.
Yeah, the wolf came to him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This wolf is drawn really well.
I don't understand the point of it, though. Like, it's
well,
so,
we'll see the in the next
it's
one.
It's really out of...
Well,
okay.
Okay. Oh, wait. Who's saying something there, Mel?
I didn't.
Sam, I think.
Sam.
That was me! Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Whatever. Okay, we can talk about the wolf later. Okay, let me make the case that the thing at the end, this reveal, does not change what happened in the show, except for this one, except for Avatar and the Fire Lord. Other than that, it doesn't change anything that happened. The entire show is still intact.
Well, it kind of, like, messes...
Not Zuko's character.
I feel bad.
See, so why does this mess up Zuko's character?
Because he's fighting his stepfather. It's not fighting his actual father. He's not fighting with someone who is a part of him.
I mean, part of the problem is Zuko was afraid of becoming like his father we saw. Like, you know, when he had that fever dream when he was, like, you know, seeing the two dragons. And he didn't have his scar on his face and all that stuff. I mean, I read that to be his fear of becoming like his father.
Okay.
But it's not his father.
He's also all, oh, my rightful place on the throne, but then it's not his rightful place.
Okay, Mel brought this up before, and she anticipated my criticism, but... okay, this is more of a... We're going to get into, like, somewhat of a philosophical discussion here, but...
Oh, no. Is this about, like, biological versus adopted?
Yes, the fact that someone is your biological father or mother really doesn't have much bearing on who you are as a person. And this is debated in, like, psychology and stuff, but in, like, Zuko would still turn out to be who he is if he was adopted. And it, like, I don't see the significance as to why Oza has to be his biological father. I really don't think it has any significance.
To his character?
To anything?
Trying to say is that the reason that Ozai hated him so, like, abashedly wasn't so much the fact that he was bad, it was the fact that it wasn't his actual fun. You know, all that, like...
I don't think they're implying that yet. I think you can take that step, but,
That's like a, you know, that's a really logical, you know, jump.
They haven't... I agree it's a logical jump, but they haven't actually gone there in the comic yet.
Well, not even talking about his character, though. Like, it wouldn't be, like, he wouldn't be the rightful Fire Lord because he's not...
So why is that significant?
I guess part of the problem is that now he's sitting on the throne. We obviously know he's Fire Lord for... years and years and years, and has a daughter who becomes Fire Lord and all that stuff, but he's not a member, like, a real relative of the royal family. Like,
it is okay. We don't believe in monarchies.
Not how,
we don't believe in monarchies.
We do, though.
Just because we don't work that way doesn't mean they, like, I mean, they're not a democracy.
Yeah, but it's better that, like, they have, it doesn't matter that he has royal blood in him. That's, like, a made-up concept.
Not okay.
No, but it matters for the show.
But in the context of the show,
it
does matter.
It matters a lot.
Like, within the context of the show, no, it also doesn't matter. Like, he's,
yes, it does.
Well, no,
it does. This is a monarchy. Like, do you not know how monarchies work?
A monarch without having, like, royal blood? And it doesn't.
Not in this context. That's not how monarchies work.
Well, no.
You're thinking about it from a very modern perspective. Like, oh, he doesn't need royal blood to be a king or whatever. But as far as Azula is going to be concerned, yes, he very much does need to have royal blood.
Okay, well, and they will definitely address it at some point in the comic if this turns out to be true. You know, like, they're gonna, like, it'll be, like, a big thing at the end that people accept him even though he's not actually has the royal blood.
I think if it turns out to be true, they're gonna keep it a secret.
I think they would go for, like, the whole, like, Zuko's a great leader, let's keep him in at the end. I think they would go for that.
I don't think they would.
I doubt it. I don't think many people would.
It wouldn't be realistic.
I would not. Yeah, the entire Fire Nation just decides, well, war's over, I'm gonna start following this.
Well, I don't know about this kid
who was banished for 3 years. Oh, it turns out he's not actually the Fire Lord's son. Well, I'm okay with it. You know, it's chill. It's whatever. I don't see that happening.
I think from, like, a story perspective, that'd be a good way to go with
that's
it.
A little bit
too no, it wouldn't.
And clean.
No, like from, like, a tropey perspective, like that. That's what I mean.
Yeah, but I don't see that happening.
Whatever.
Don't you whatever me.
No, I think you're probably right about the Fire Nation not, citizens not having that opinion, but I think that I don't know if that would be explored in depth in the comic though. So I think they could just like have it like sit there and it wouldn't be that big of a deal.
But that's such a cop out.
Yeah. Okay. We'll get back to this, but let me actually talk about why I liked
Why did you?
Why the search in more detail. I really liked the flashbacks. I thought they worked really well. The combination of the plot line that we hadn't heard before, like, we'd never seen Ursa Younger. It's just bringing a new perspective to this, and combined with the art, which was also, I don't think, done spectacularly well, especially in the flashbacks. It has, like, this, this tone to it.
Sepia.
Say it again.
Sepia.
Yeah, it's a sepia tone, but like it's not like overdone.
No,
it's kind of like subtle, which I really like. Yeah,
it's like we're in Kansas.
I will say one thing with the flashbacks. Not
okay,
like,
you can just stand up.
I'm like Wizard of Oz, dude.
Anyway, one thing I didn't like that they did while we're talking about the flashbacks is that I would have liked to have seen a point in time when Ursa and Ozai didn't, when they were happy, maybe?
Yeah, and when he wasn't creepy.
They were never
like, happy. Their wedding scene, he, like, went into her ear and, like, whispered, like, oh, now you, like, have to leave your family. I was like, that's creepy.
Yeah, I think it would have added more dimension to Ozai's character to show a point in time when he wasn't a complete psycho.
Yeah.
I think he was very nice in this comic. No, I got like in the beginning, like the first
Before he opened his mouth, he seemed
I feel like he was very kind and understanding.
Did you see the wedding scene?
Given the circumstances in the beginning, he wasn't like awful.
Yeah, the wedding scene, dum dum.
Yeah. Okay, I see what Sam's saying. Afterwards, because Azulon was the one that took her away. Like, he didn't actually do anything.
Yes.
Yeah.
By the way, what did he say? Like, they were trying to hide you from us or whatever?
He was looking for, like, descendants of Roku.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Why would they be trying to hide her?
Because they don't want her to marry the Fire Lord.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to marry Ozai.
Yeah. Well, like, theoretically, there's some, like, faction that was hiding her. I don't know, like, maybe if it's just, like, a family.
The White Lotus.
Yeah, it was the White Lotus.
Ozai anyway, jeez. He already had, like, his goatee.
Yeah, really. How old was he supposed to be? Do we know? Like, around her age?
He was probably older than her.
What is her age?
Probably, like, I don't know.
Probably 16, late, something. Like, 18?
Yeah. That's
I complain about Ursa's face because it's very, like, plain and I don't know who she is. Who are you?
I think her face in the show is pretty, like, non-distinct, too, though. Which is, I think is kind of the point, because she's, like, this figure, like, that's not
she's
attainable.
Like this
yeah.
Godly figure.
No, she's a Virgin Mary figure. Mother.
Yes.
Mary. Bible.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, okay, we get
illusions. I'm making illusions.
Yes, it's Good Friday, okay.
We get to the Bible, yeah, like... Okay, let's talk about more stuff.
Can we talk about the unrealistic... like, notion
of what?
Azula getting her arms out of the straitjacket and shooting lightning.
Oh, yeah, Brittany, like, gave me the entire, like,
oh, no.
Well, Brittany, so chi blocking doesn't actually exist, so they can kind of go wherever they want with that.
No, this is my problem. To get your arms out of a straitjacket like that, you have to dislocate your shoulders. Like, you have to dislocate your shoulders. You can't immediately turn around and zap someone after you dislocate.
When you're Azula, you do what you want.
Like, they explained it. Like, I don't know. What more do you want?
She became flexible, but you can't... Like, it doesn't work like that. That's comically correct.
Magic.
Whatever. Yeah, let's talk about Azula. I thought they... Jean Yang, I was very surprised at how well he handled Azula.
I liked her deal.
The only thing
like,
he handled well.
When she was like, so which one of you did she approach first? And they're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I had no idea. I read
Girl,
that.
Girl, you crazy.
I read that like 5 times and I still didn't know. And then he brought Ursa back and I'm like, that's brilliant. Like,
yeah.
That there, it's he's taking something that happened in the show. Like, this is what these comics like can do. It took something that seemed like a one-time thing in the show and made it like a running delusion for her.
Mm-hmm.
Which implies maybe some... some type of schizophrenia or something, which is really interesting.
Another thing, too, with that letter is that it's totally implying that she does love Zuko more. Because she's like, oh, my one comfort here is that we have our son. Never mind.
Well, no, it's not. It's not that that he loves Zuko more. It was going for like the son. Our son reminds me of you, and it's the only thing of our past lives and stuff like that.
Not a fan of that letter.
No one's a fan of that letter except for Dylan.
Dylan just hates Zuko, so he's so happy.
I don't like Zuko either, but like I love his.
This
I
is
like
a good. Character. This is a good development for Zuko. Zuko
no, it's not!
Doesn't have to be related to Ozai. That's great. I love that.
Like, it could be an interesting. Like the only like this person who this could possibly develop well for it would be Azula.
Yeah,
because it would like develop her character as like my mother loves Zuko more than me because
my
you know he was
Zuko.
The son of the guy she actually loved and I was like
okay. Now that I've said too many positives, let's get back into the negatives on Jun Yang.
The wolf.
No. Let's not the wolf. There's more.
I don't like the wolf.
Let's talk about the sexism that appears again in this one.
What are you talking about?
We had a big problem. Well, you didn't read my review, obviously.
No, I didn't.
No. You had a review?
Oh my god, you guys suck. Yes, you go read my review on DF.
Yeah. Terrible.
So I had a major problem with the sexism in the last comic, and this time it's not in the forefront, but there's this one Cat Aang scene, and Aang says, he says something like, I've been waiting... I couldn't kiss you before, but now I can actually kiss you. And it was all sweet, but that's not something that Aang would say.
Yeah.
Aang would say, now we can actually be together, or now we can kiss. Like, Aang never had any of these, like, ambiguously sexist phrases in the show.
Not a sexist.
Ocean,
well, so the reason it's sexist is because he's able to kiss
he's
her
like,
now.
Now I'm allowed to kiss
it's
you.
It's like, yeah, now, like, now that she is his possession, you know, like that.
It's not, oh yeah, okay. We get to be together as a couple. It's now it's, I can have you as
exactly.
My own.
Exactly. And
gotcha.
it's completely out of character for Aang.
This whole thing is pretty out of character for Aang, though. And,
everyone.
Like, in some ways,
Katara. Wait. What was that picture? Sam had that one frame of Aang's face.
Oh my
what
god.
Was it?
I did.
Do you remember that?
Angry?
Yeah. That was
that's
most ridiculous.
Of the wolf.
Yeah, the most ridiculous art I've ever seen. I forget what page it's on.
Oh, it's on page 53.
Okay, pause. We'll get to the wolf and stuff. But Mel, do you see this story of Ursa being repressed as sexism or as a comment on sexism or as just showing a sexist thing happening?
I mean, there's a couple different ways you could look at it. I mean, you could look at it as repressed in general just because she's repressed by Ozai and her position as, you know, in the royal family. Now she's part of the royal family. However, you could also look at it as an entirely... I mean, I think it would be more a commentary on sexism just because it's three different men, like, jockeying for... You know, because Azulon shows up with Ozai and says, oh, I'm here for your daughter, she's going to marry my son, and then you've got... How do you say his name? Ikem? Ikem?
Yeah.
Ikem?
Anyway, that guy.
Ikem, yeah, I don't know.
Who's, like, ready to fight Ozai for Ursa. So, I mean, part of it, yes, you could see Jin Yang. Maybe he's doing a commentary. I don't think he's that smart.
I don't think
he realizes that it's like, okay, you've got, you know, even that guy who's Ikem, however you say his name, who's like, oh, I'm going to fight Ozai for Ursa. Like, that's also still very much a possessive...
Agreed, yeah.
A possessive thing happening, so I don't think it's a commentary on sexism. I think it's again Jin Yang being sexist without realizing it.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so I wouldn't say that it's because Jin Yang isn't smart. I would say that I don't want to say that he's a sexist, but based on the last comic, I don't think that he would be that it would be in something he would do to like write a
it's
commentary
not, it's
on
sexism.
Sexism.
It's just general culture of the way we would portray women is that two guys have to duke it out to get her. You know,
see, like
can I say something though? He does sort of portray like this possessiveness, and he does show like you know Ursa's reaction with Ozai at the wedding. And now you belong to the royal family and to me. And she looks really afraid.
Like,
like the art? Or is that him? Like,
I mean, that could be him doing a commentary on Ozai, not so much on her. Like, that she's just afraid of Ozai.
Okay,
but...
Well, okay. So I don't think this is necessarily... I don't think you can say, oh, this is sexism from Jin Yang. Like, the Aang, the Cat Aang thing in this one, I think is pretty clearly, like, bordering evil.
But it's not sexism in the way a lot of people would think sexism. It's just it's the way that people portray women without even realizing it. So, like, they're saying, oh, it's not sexist because there's
kind of like unintentional.
Yeah, it's unintentional, like,
well, I don't know. Okay, so there's I don't think it's unintentional. There's a difference between
it's not really supposed to be like, you know, oh, now you're my possession. Like, it was just like a
no I think it is supposed to be that. Now,
I would disagree.
There's a difference between portraying the cult, just portraying women or in a bad way, like not without realizing it, and like having this this plot line of the arranged marriage, and obviously there's going to be inherent sexism in this. You're taking the woman away. It's this repeated storyline, and it's portraying something that has happened in the past, and it's not so much that he is saying he's like endorsing these events, but he's just saying that they're happening.
One thing I will say into that whole scene when Ecom, I really don't know how to say it. It's gonna come out five different ways every time.
Well, why don't we just call him IKEA?
IKEA shows up with his swords. When he showed up with his swords, like, did he have swords? I imagine
they were like wooden swords.
Are they broadswords? Because that could be another.
They were props.
There you go. But anyway, he shows up with his swords and he's like, "Oh, Fire Lord or Prince Ozai, I'm gonna fight you," or whatever. I will give him props for. I guess you could say. I mean, well, it's not even really props. I take that back. I mean, Azula, or not Azula, God, names everywhere. Ursa, you know, diffuses the situation, but she does have to do it through Ozai. Like, she says, can you make sure, don't hurt him, like, he's
That was still the stereotypical, like, woman intervening.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but he gave her a little bit of agency in that scene, which I'm not saying giving her a little bit of agency is okay or enough, but...
So at least she gets a say, but it's still within still the realm of the sexist story. Because
she says, hey, can you take care of this and not hurt him?
Yeah. It would be innovative if she took a sword from a guard and
jumped out of care.
Yeah.
That would have just been no.
It would have been awesome. I would have loved.
Would have been awesome, but like no, she wouldn't. Well,
I don't think that's sexist.
Been very in character.
Well, the thing is, you can go anywhere with Ursa's character because like we barely see her. Like really, when she's younger, you could have made her awesome.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
She's just basically a subdued, quiet, scared girl.
And she was fun loving in the beginning and awesome, but yeah, like
she was cute.
Yeah, she was super cute. Yeah, Ursa was so kawaii, Allie.
She was. Yeah. I was gonna say that, and I thought you would have liked it.
I swear to God.
Okay. Yeah. See.
Okay. One more quick mention. We had a discussion on this before, but if you go to page 15, you can possibly see. But and don't comment on this. But you can possibly see an analogy with flowers and
flowers.
Okay. I already told you. You're being
I think this is an intentional move by Jing Yang and the artist.
We had this 20-minute conversation where
why?
Dylan was dumb and I was right.
I think it's a really interesting move, and page also isn't sexist, but it's again portraying a sexist situation.
Well, Dylan, if what you think's happening there with the flowers is correct, then I think the whole deal with IKEA being his father would be false.
I
have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm trying to be as vague about this as possible.
No, it's just, but it's from Azulon's perspective, though. So
again, there is a thing I brought up into the conversation.
What did you bring up?
Like it's like a trope in like a Chinese.
Oh yeah, you did do that.
Korean media.
Yeah, where, yeah, like, they could all be.
There's like four flowers on the page, and four means death. And Azulon is touching the flowers, so it's foreshadowing for a thing we already know.
Yeah, I think my explanation, however unlikely, is more likely than that being the intention. But
I don't even whatever.
Okay, let's continue.
I mean, his name is Never mind.
Okay, let's go on to Zuki here.
Doesn't matter what you ship, you don't ship that.
I was debating with some of the mini hosts, and we were good job paying attention to the mini host chat. Jeez.
Yeah, I pay attention to it so much.
Yeah, okay, anyway. We're debating whether Jean Yang was portraying Zuki in this, or whether it's merely just a friendship between... I think I was talking to Lem with this. Lem thought this was just a friendship between Suki and Zuko. And there really wasn't any overtly romantic things within here.
I mean, there doesn't have to be, though, I'm mad at Jean Yang A because we know that he's a Zootarian. He broke up Mako,
yeah.
Which
is so mad.
And now he's just, like, having buddy-buddy time with Zuko and Suki. I'm just not liking these turn of events.
Yeah, I thought it was the romantic part was pretty implied here. Because, like, Suki's all worried for Zuko. And it's just, like, this is the most bland, like, possible romance you can introduce. I don't get it either.
Like, why? It's so random.
It's dumb, and it's just him trying to increase like, the drama in the comics.
The only good part this could that could happen out of this is that Sokka could happen.
That's true.
I approve. Because then Lin's father is Sokka!
I approve of the breaking up of...
Suka.
Make them all get back together, Mel. It's okay.
But Tenzin and Lin and it's just
okay.
No, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Marry Haru. I know it's
Haru. Whatever happened to him?
The Duke. No, the Duke man.
Yeah. No. Shut up. Yeah. This is twice now that he's put in some weird Suki stuff.
Yeah. I think it's intentional on his part, and he's being a troll. But yeah,
I honestly think this is just his way of releasing his pent up Zootarian,
which is super annoying.
Yeah,
yeah.
It almost negates any bonus points you earn from this actually being kind of good. This one,
yeah,
as opposed to the last three. But yeah, let's talk about the transitions into Korra that we saw in here because they became there was definitely some in the promise, but they start to become more overt in this. I don't remember if we knew that Yudao would become Republic City in The Promise.
No.
But I think it mentions it in, like, the Nick.com, like, map that they gave us. I'm pretty sure it mentions that it was a city.
But it wasn't in The Promise that we,
Okay, yeah, because I didn't know. I was like, oh, when I saw it. I thought that was really cool.
I just thought it was a place where stuff happened.
It's cool that that's where they're going with that.
I thought that was to be assumed.
Like, Yudao actually finally
has. Is that the only one who didn't realize that?
No, I didn't realize either.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought you were supposed to assume that was a
place. So, yeah, Sam is smarter than us, yeah. But in conclusion, Sam is smarter.
I just thought it was a place where stuff happened, and then...
That
was the end of it.
There was another transition, too. Oh yeah, Toph is meeting with the metal bending chief of police.
Oh yeah, what's with him leaving Toph out of all of this?
I don't know.
Put Toph
in a love story.
I think this was more of he needed to make Toph's transition into Korra work, and it wouldn't have made sense if she was on this journey. I guess.
Yeah, but everyone loves her. She didn't get her good version of her life changing field trip with Zuko. Yeah. This could be it.
That's gonna be the next comic series. Toph's life-changing journey with Zuko, yeah.
You're kidding me. I'll be first in line.
I'm gonna go hang out because I'm still waiting for May to show up.
Written by Jean Yang.
And yeah, Miss May.
She's getting her own... She gets an entire own comic book where evidently she's going to be lamenting about her broken heart because, you know, she just...
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah,
her entire plot line revolves around Zuko. Apparently,
who's writing that one?
Who do you think?
Of course.
But yeah, that's if that whole thing is just her thinking about Zuko, more sexism, yeah, because May that was a relatively small part of May's character in Avatar, yeah.
It didn't even come up until her, like, late in her story.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And I did it like in a profound way where it wasn't just dry.
Yeah.
They
hinted at it.
Well, we saw in Zuko Alone.
For a second at the beginning of season 2, and you're like, whatever, and they showed it in Zuko Alone, and then it was there was nothing about it until the third season. Like, it was great.
Yeah, like, it's not like he was dominating her thoughts or anything. Like, she was...
If anything, she was like, never mind.
She's like, I got things to do.
Yeah, exactly. Okay,
She's so cool.
I miss her.
Yeah.
Yes, whoa, sorry.
Okay, let's talk about the tone of this book, because it's still bad. Like, it's getting better, but he just includes these dumb jokes, and it's just not good. I don't know how else to describe this, but there's just several... I don't know. The dialogue... The dialogue that isn't stereotypical is childish.
I want to talk about the stereotypical dialogue.
Okay, yeah.
And the characters, because I feel like the characters all confined to one trait, other than maybe Azula. Like, when Iroh is in the comic for, like, about a page, he's like, oh my god, T. And then Katara's defining character trait is, oh my god, Aang is my boyfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Sokka's just,
I might as well have been her lines. Oh my god, Aang is my boyfriend.
Like, as much as I love Katang, I hate that he did that. Like, it's so obnoxious.
Yeah, it's not good.
Well, Katara's like one of I don't even know what I'm trying to say. She's like the secondary protagonist. She's this super duper important person. Like, she's the agent through which the entire show gets started. She brings Aang back to life, and now he's demoted her to Aang's girlfriend.
Like, seriously though, yeah. Let's look at every single woman and what Jean Yang has done with them. Katara's been relevated to, like, Aang's boyfriend. Girlfriend. Yeah, I don't know. She's the one in charge. This
guy. He's so sexist that he made her a man.
Ursa is portrayed in a major way, and she's just that was pretty funny. Yeah.
Oh my god! In a minute, I'll be back.
Ursa.
Okie dokie.
Anyway.
No, that's my phone, yeah. Allie's, like, trying to pick up the phone, and it's like, it's not ringing.
No, I'm laughing!
It wasn't that funny!
Ursa's, yes, it was! Ursa's, just, like, taken by Ozai. Toph is not in the comic. Yes. Azula is crazy, like, all women are crazy, etc. Like, and Suki has sole purpose is to guard Zuko. Mei is gone. Like, seriously, literally every female.
Only to return when she has to lament about her, exactly. Her breakup with her boyfriend.
Every single female. Like, seriously. I mean, I've seen praise in reviews for the way he portrayed Azula multifaceted, and I agree. Like, I don't think he's, like, portraying Azula as stereotypical crazy female, but, like, I think her character does have depth, but it's still, there's a problem here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we went over most of my stuff on here. Oh, the wolf. Yeah, let's get back to the wolf. Okay.
I do not like it.
What is the wolf?
What's your problem with the wolf? It's cool.
First of all, why? Second of all, like, the whole, like, you know how, like, when Katara was like, oh, Aang, look at its stomach, it has the face you were making. He's like, oh, you're right, and then just totally ignore it. I'm just like, what the heck is going on here?
That's so true.
Like, I don't get it.
It's not a symbol that IKEA became a spirit.
Oh, something? Is that where that's going?
No, because no.
That would be, like, no, that'd
he
be
meets
so
it, if, and then it, like, is blue with anger. Is that going to symbol his rage? I don't. So,
I would love if that's where that was going.
Because it looks like a direwolf.
Wait. Did you say that it was
direwolf? Did you know direwolves were real animals? I didn't know.
Shush. Okay. Did you say it was Ursa's spirit? Or
no, I thought it might be IKEA's spirit, or like spirit, he sold his soul to it. Because he's staring there.
But he meant it.
It's very clearly the same thing.
I don't know.
Maybe the wolf might try and get revenge.
It might be something that just came and visited both of them. I mean, okay. It doesn't have to be that one becomes the other.
Brit, if that's where they're going with this, I will retract my concern.
She's still going.
Brit's been talking for the past 20 seconds.
Talk over me?
Mel just talks over you. Yeah, like you. No. It's something with your audio. You come in below everyone else. Yeah.
Are you serious?
No.
Okay.
Anyway. I didn't get any of what you just said the past 30 seconds.
Okay. My theory with the wolf is that IKEA man sold his soul to it, basically, which is why you see, like, rage eyes on its chest and it's, like, bluey, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of, like, signifies his rage at, like, the Fire Lord. So that wolf thing is gonna, like, go after them, and Suka's gonna have to save his family.
That's an interesting theory.
Like, it's about family, or, like, save his sister or something, because it, like, smells Ozai's blood.
It smells Ozai.
Listen, Britt, two things. One, why would the spirit come to him? And two, why would he sell his soul to the spirit?
Because he's angry, and this is Jean Yang.
He's angsty about his son.
He's angry is not a good response to, okay, I'll sell you my soul because I'm angry.
Well,
I don't get
revenge.
It.
You watch Game of Thrones. People like revenge.
Okay, so the way I interpreted this was just, like, Jean Yang having stereotypical, oh, look, it's the spirit world thing, yay. Which I was kind of fine with because the art was so good. But if they go in a deeper direction with this, which it kind of seems like they will because the wolf is coming back, like, I will be much happier.
Why did it throw up?
But yeah, okay, let's speaking of that. Page 68, the art is gorgeous. Like, I don't...
Yeah, why did it throw up?
I don't know why the wolf is, like, throwing up wasps, but it's so beautiful. Like,
but, like,
seriously.
It is beautiful, but, like you said, why? Like, what the...
I'm sure it's something we're going to find out.
I don't know.
Is it symbolic of something?
The throwing
regurgitation of... I don't know.
It's like it's so like happy that it got defeated, it puked. Pink.
I mean, I don't know what it is. Some people have theorized that it's Ursa, but that doesn't really make sense. So
Ursa are wasps?
No.
Ursa should be a
People on Tumblr like theorized that the wolf was Ursa, but that doesn't make sense because she was still alive and kicking when IKEA man grew his beard and went into the forest and met the wolf.
So you're saying that Ursa is a bunch of wasps, is what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay.
That makes this thing just like no, it ate the fire.
I want her to be a bear.
Yeah, she should be.
She
a bear.
She probably
going for the obvious. Yeah, Ursa is a bear.
That's going to be the conclusion to all this. Ursa is just.
I have a
bear
question
now.
Though.
Yeah.
Why are the wasps glowing?
Because it's spirit.
Why is this a reference to Inuyasha?
Why do they throw up wasp stuff? Oh my god, Inuyasha, you're right.
Is this how it's like, if you don't see, like, is a piece of her heart inside of the thing? Like, remember that little sacred orb they had to go after?
I don't know, but did anyone else's Facebook majorly change in the past 10 minutes?
Why are you doing this?
It's been doing that for, like, everybody.
No, that was, like, 2 weeks ago. You're so behind.
Well, it just changed for me.
Well, it's better now. I like it.
Shut up. Mine's, like, behind 3 years.
Mine
so
hasn't happened.
Actually, it is better because it's back to, like, normal.
Back to normal. Okay.
Well,
it's the same.
Let's go back to the twist at the end now that we've covered most things.
What's a twist?
Go ahead.
I don't know what to say.
Are you kidding me?
I was.
Wait, what are we talking about? Zuko.
Zuko not being Ozai's son.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. My answer is no.
Okay, that's not the question.
I don't
okay,
care.
Look, when they animated the two of them, like it's very obvious when the show was happening, they were fairly certain or pretty much
intending that's what I
want
to talk about, yeah.
That Ozai and Zuko were father and son. Like that's the way it was, that's the way it was going.
Okay,
they look identical and now that's completely down the drain.
Okay, so recently in an interview I heard Mike and Brian. No, I don't think it was an interview, in a Tumblr post. They said Jin Yang. No, it made an interview. Whatever.
Oh,
they're like, we worked with Gene Yang to come up with this story, specifically Mike, because it was his like storyboard that got cut from the last.
Mike?
Well, Mike is the story person.
I want to like Mike, but I just don't.
No, Mike. What are you talking about? Mike's the great one. Yeah, like
no.
So is Brian though, but they're both all, yeah. But anyway.
Moving on, we're not going to debate which one of them was better. We'll be here all night.
We see.
I have things to do.
He said that we worked with Jin Yang with the general idea, and then he came up with some interesting twists that were like that we thought were that we approved of. So I think this is one of the things that Jin Yang came up with, and I agree that in the show it was supposed to be that Zuko is Ozai's biological son.
I'm surprised they agreed with him on that.
I just like to point out that in like Avatar Wiki and all that stuff, they still don't list. They didn't change the family information yet, but they have all, and they have even the search. They have the thing up, but they still don't say. Oh, by the way,
on Wikipedia.
On well, I don't know about Wikipedia, but Avatar Wiki at least they didn't change.
I don't think Zuko has a character. Does Zuko have a character page anymore? I'm not sure.
Yeah, he does.
I should know. No, on Wikipedia, I should know.
Oh.
Considering I edit there, but yeah.
I don't know, but on Avatar Wiki, they didn't change his paternal information.
Wikipedia went through a big condensing of all the pages thing, but anyway. Toon Gal on one of the forum users on Tumblr brought this up when I did their review, in that it contradicts I think we said this already, but she said it contradicts the whole two sides of Zuko's thing that we saw in Avatar and the Fire Lord, and I think that is definitely true. I'm not sure whether that's something we should be upset about though.
Yes it is.
He's trying to take canon and take a big poop on it. That's
so
why.
I don't know if he's trying to. He's taking one development from an episode, and he's not even changing it. He's just diluting the meaning of it. He's not, like I said, he's not contradicting anything that happened in the show, because all of this could actually work. But he's just taking the significance of the Avatar and the Fire Lord's ending away. Maybe it's because I never found that much significance there to begin with that I'm fine with this, but Because, like, really, I don't get the whole biological relations
again,
mattering so much.
Dylan hates Zuko, so he really doesn't care.
No, I think it's more of this but, like, philosophical difference.
If you say that, I don't like Zuko either, but, like, his character is so good, like, especially if he's, like, actually Oz Sai son, and then if he's not, it just ruins everything.
Okay, so maybe this is why I never like Zuko, but, like, who cares who he's related to? That shouldn't define his character.
Well, put it
like,
this
that's
way.
So dumb.
All right, Dylan, I've got one for you. If all of this is true, then Iroh isn't his real uncle.
Yeah, I don't care about that either.
I think Allie might care.
Iroh's more of a more of an adopted father to Zuko than Ozai is. Like, I would say Iroh's like the most real father to Zuko out of anyone.
Yeah, but
like, but really though, Zuko's cool. A lot of Zuko's plotline ended up being about who he descended from, but that doesn't...
A lot of it was about who's Zuko trying to be himself in the face of being like Azula, being like Ozai, being
yeah,
like
but
whoever, but...
Like, those
it's
the people
like, oh, you're adopted.
Like,
it's very much looking at it differently now that, not so much that he's adopted in the first place, like, that's fine, that's whatever, like, if they wanted to present that in the show, that's fine, it's the way that they decided, okay, we're gonna present it in this spin-off comic book that Zuko is actually not Ozai's son.
See, like I said, though, I don't think it changes anything.
It's just the way they went about revealing it for me is what really bugs me.
Well, when else would they have done it, though? Like,
do it in the show or do it in Korra. Don't do it in a spin-off comic book that maybe only a portion of the fandom will read.
In Korra, they can't do it because then they would be, like, not having...
So then don't do it, period. If it's
not relevant,
if it's not relevant, not important, then don't do it, period.
Well, it was created drama in this, like, and they're gonna go somewhere with it too, like, it's gonna define Ursa's storyline and stuff, like, that's something to remember.
It's completely changing canon information in a spin-off comic book that maybe only a quarter of the fandom will actually read.
I disagree. I think most people are gonna read this, but we are judging part one of a thing. We are only judging the beginning of a story. We should mention that,
which is why I still think it's gonna end up not to be true.
But
how many parts are there?
Three, yeah, duh.
That's it?
What, do you want five more of these?
More, yeah. Going back to what Mel said, I still don't think this changed anything. Everything in the show you could interpret as being the same. Zuko would have still gone through the same experiences. He thought he was descended from Ozai, so he still would have had this internal struggle. Everything remains the same, even with this added information.
Yeah, whatever.
Then I feel like Zuko's been going through, like, a complete identity crisis, like, oh my god.
Yeah, but I get, like...
I was fighting against my dad, but he's actually not my dad.
Like, I hate that so much. Like, why does it matter? Oh my god.
And have you ever been...
Because when you're 18 years old and you find out your father isn't really your father, it's gonna matter to Zuko quite a bit.
I understand.
No matter
that.
How much he hates his father, he's going to be like, "Holy crap! Like, who am I? What am I?" Like,
and Dylan, you're not looking at this from a literary perspective.
I understand.
No, think that biology matters. Like, let's say you don't like you, Dylan. You don't think biology matters, and that's fine. You know, Ozai is technically his father. He raised him. That's who his father is. But Zuko's not going to look at it that way. I mean, now he's got an entire half of his family, half of his genealogy that he has no idea where it's from, where they are, who they are. And that's why it's such a big deal. Because this is half of this. He's going
I
to consider
it
half
be,
of who he
okay,
is.
I agree that it would be significant. I don't. Well, I agree that he would consider it half of who he is. I don't think that a rational person would. But
I don't know. Well, I mean, okay. Imagine today, Dylan, your parents came home and were like, by the way, you're adopted.
I mean, I wouldn't
that
want.
Freak
I wouldn't
you
have
out a little bit.
Yeah, it would freak me out, but I wouldn't have. It wouldn't change who I would. I wouldn't have a desire to like meet my real family. You know, I mean, I could understand having a desire to, but
I mean, when you find out that Ozai is not your father, I think
so, I agree. It would have a significant impact on Zuko. Britt said something earlier. She said, "You're not looking from a literary perspective, a tropey perspective." Like I would say,
not tropey.
Well, no. Well,
literary. You can't simplify everything into tropes, Dylan. It's
yes,
something that happens.
Yes, you can. That's what TV tropes is.
This is coming from the English major. There are tropes in literature. A literary perspective is not a tropey perspective.
Okay, so Mike and Brian were very heavy on these stereotypical plot lines. Like, so is Jun Yang. But Mike and Brian are like, oh, he's going to have these forces, these biological forces. And it was like, I guess I'm so vehement on this because, like, this is not a plot line I enjoyed because I just don't understand it. But...
Wait, what plot?
And also, Dylan, you're kind of incorrect. There is evidence in science that shows that you are about 50-50
Well, no,
who
I don't
think there, it there's and who not, you are genetically.
Nurture and nature. Identical
yeah,
from
nurture
together.
And nature. It's not, the evidence is not, it's not 50-50.
Yes, it is, Dylan. I'm a science
no,
major.
No,
you
yeah,
study
I've
computers.
Taken,
she's pre-med, Dylan.
Brit. You can't say, there's no, it's not like there's evidence that you can say.
Yes, there is.
50-50.
There are studies
it
that have been done. You are like 50, they take identical
50%.
Twins and they own similar cars.
No,
similar hair. You are like, you know, your genes affect you.
This is not a thing where there's proof on. There, it's still up for debate.
Dylan, there are certain things that are genetic, though. Like, let's say Ozai's
no, 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 no.
Let's
like, that's what I was going to say. Obviously, there's genetic things. Obviously.
Like, let's say Ozai's a psycho. He is let's say psychologically, genetically, okay, he's a schizophrenic. Let's just say he's not. That's something that could be inherited.
No, I agree. I agree. Like, the craziness, like, that is.
And that's what, was bugging me about Ozai's story, or Zuko's story now being changed, is that did he inherit the anger? Did he inherit the revenge, the lust for power, all this stuff? Clearly he didn't, because he's not related to Ozai, but a significant part of his story was, like, how much like Ozai am I?
Yeah.
Boom.
There's, like...
So, yes, physically, he would be...
Oh, my God.
But you can have very different personalities, you know.
Oh, my God.
You can. My point still stands, you know,
going
if Zuko finds out that Ozai isn't his real father, like, he'll still, like, launch into a huge identity crisis.
I agree.
He's going to sit
because
in the corner
we saw him have fever dreams in the show about
for the
this.
Entire next episode, he's going to be, like, sitting in a corner rocking in a ball. Who am I?
Oh, wait, that would be so entertaining.
What am I?
He's going to be Jean Valjean.
Am I even?
If, Mel, if it was anything less than that, it would be out of character.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way it's got to go.
Is there anything we haven't discussed?
Oh my God. Art.
I said the art multiple
Zuko
times.
Was off model a lot.
Zuko was off model?
Yeah.
Well, we also discussed Aang's beautiful face on page.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, what page is that?
Sam, what page was it?
I don't know.
When he's making that angry face?
I'm going to it.
Thank you.
Come on.
That angry face.
It's like page 45, you know, and page 53. He doesn't. But Zuko's face is, like, extremely off-model sometimes.
It's not as bad as Dat face, Allie.
Egg's face is hilarious, yeah.
Oh my God, Dat face.
I mean, Sam, you can't expect the models to be on, because it's just different artists, you know?
But his face.
I don't know.
I don't know.
For the most part, everyone's okay, except for Zuko and Sokka.
Oh, can I just say it was kind of cute when Zuko went to put the blanket on?
I love that.
Yes. I am all for sibling love.
I love the sibling love.
I think it's too... I don't know. I don't know if...
And of course, Dylan.
It's too quick, though. Like, I love...
He's trying to be nice to his sister. They're on a journey.
Who shot him with lightning?
Look, okay? They've had their
Zuko is really easily forgiven.
Zuko does forgive
Zuko
him.
Zuko is a forgiving person who's trying to play
he's
nice
also
with
crazy.
His sister.
No rational person forgives them that quick. Zuko's just okay. I've been saying no rational person does this about Zuko. I have concluded that Zuko is just not a rational person.
He's trying
well,
to be
I
nice
mean,
to
you
his
don't, you don't have to be rational to be nice, and he's just
a very emotional person. That's true, though.
Zuko's Dylan, the aspect of kindness is that it's irrational. You're
Dylan
so,
is the
no,
aspect of
think that's
kindness
true.
Is lost upon Dylan. He has no feelings.
Yeah, he doesn't have any feelings.
I don't think I feel like Dylan. Are you an only child?
No, I have a brother.
How much older is he than you?
It's true though. It's true though that now that I think about it a lot, that Zuko is very emotionally driven on everything he does.
Yeah, that's like his thing.
So yeah.
Do you have? Is your sibling younger than you and older than you?
Older.
Okay, because that's like a different relationship. You
okay,
do not.
No, I understand. I am aware of how of
like,
sibling relationships.
But it's got a little sister.
My point was not Zuko should not be
rational.
Kind.
Like,
no, no.
Callie could shoot lightning at me.
Hold
the wall.
Okay.
Well,
anyway, go on.
Okay, let me make a broader point. The reaction to Azula is too tame in this whole thing.
Okay.
But she's chill. It's fine. She's on the meds. It's
but she's not.
She's not on the meds, though. They don't have them.
She's not fine. She's not on the meds.
The meds are love and hugs and forgiveness and happiness.
Where
and
are the
blankets
hugs?
It's when you're cold.
I'm interested to see whether Jean Yang goes with her being purely like this is a plot for her to get back on the throne and she's evil and Ozai's evil, or whether they'll go more on the Azula's okay, maybe even kind of good now.
I would prefer the latter.
I would prefer the former.
Oh my God!
Why?
We can't be friends
anymore.
What's the matter with you?
No, I don't want it to be like from a personal perspective, but I think Azula's character isn't one that would make sense to go on this quick redemption journey.
It's not quick. There's three of them.
That's pretty quick for this.
Yeah, it's pretty quick. I don't think
maybe I don't know. Maybe she'll show up in May's comic.
Maybe she'll just like run off into the woods and like she'll show up in Korra as like on like a 90-year-old woman,
a crazy hobo lady in the forest. Yeah.
I would be much more upset if Azula was like quote unquote good at the end of this than I am even close to by the twist of this in this. You know, like
in that case, I really hope she's good at the end.
Like I think that would contradict the show a lot.
My favorite thing is when Dylan gets angry.
I can feel the love.
That's my favorite.
You're so mean. Geez.
Sorry. Not sorry.
No, yeah, apparently you're not. Yeah, okay.
Allie, did you say something?
I said no, you're not.
Okay.
Okay, last thoughts on this? Anything?
Dylan, your opinions are horrible and incorrect.
Thank you. I would like to know what you guys think. I think most of the fandom has just been freaking out over the twist and hasn't really evaluated this as a story. And I think as a story, it's way more successful than any of the past
three. Yeah. Well, that's why I said I'm okay with pretty much all of it up until when the twist happened.
I think as like a general plot, it's okay.
I also think
guys.
Whoa.
What?
Never mind. I don't think that's a thing.
Brit.
Okay, if you take the twist in the context of the search, I think it's also a story development that's done very well. Like, it's foreshadowed very well, and it's built up too well. It's not random in the context of the story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's
much better, what's the word I'm looking for?
I guess
you said, storytelling.
Yeah, like, I know, I think the storytelling is much better, because Jean Yang was kind of all over the place before.
Boom, boom, boom.
But yeah, anyway.
It has one direction that it's, like, going in. Like, there's a forward.
There was definitely an end that the rest of this was a means to. As opposed to stuff happening, and then there's a conclusion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
improving. My liking, yeah. No, Britt was just saying the same thing before. But yeah, anyway.
A little bit. It's sort of better.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I think it's significantly better, but I don't know. He had more pieces to work with in The Promise, and it's kind of hard to like wrangle them all in, I guess. And now he's kind of free reign on this because there wasn't much build up.
I feel like it's sort of like the difference between The Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones, you know? The Phantom Menace is like, like Jar Jar Binks.
This is actually a really good analogy.
But, you know, the Attack of the Clones, it was better, but it wasn't, like, the greatest thing ever.
It wasn't stupendous.
Do Star Wars fans like Attack of the Clones generally more than...
I personally like
Attack of the Clones. Yeah, anything's better than Phantom Menace.
I know that it's still hated, but I guess not as much, yeah.
And then Revenge of the Sith is better than
It's
not the best.
I really liked Revenge of the Sith, but yeah, anyway.
Me and Ellie haven't seen Star Wars.
Wow.
What? Wait, you've seen the original Star Wars, right?
No.
Oh my goodness.
I wasn't allowed to watch them.
You have to leave now.
Okay, point that I was trying to make before.
Excuse you.
I would say that was late. I would say that
it's a lag.
Oh god.
Yeah, you're just lagging. You're gonna ruin it all. Jeez, Allie, come on.
Oh, get it together. You had one job.
You had one job, Allie.
Shut up.
Okay.
Shut up.
Like I was saying, I don't think that the this being decent absolves Jean Yang of some of the horribleness of The Promise, but he's getting there.
He's improving.
Yeah, like
actually read this one.
Like the three fatal flaws in Promise Part 3 were just so bad to me. Like I'm not gonna get over it, but this was much better. I don't know. At least there was.
Wait, are they doing like a trilogy of trilogies? Like
I don't
promise the search, and then is there going to be another trilogy?
They haven't announced a third one.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I think Jean Yang will want.
May is just one.
These are
one
book. That was just a comic book day thing.
When does May's comic thing come out?
It's in May, I think. Oh, these are selling very well. Like you always see them on the top seller list for comics. So I do think they'll probably continue after the search. Yay, we get to talk about them more. Okay.
They should just do like a monthly like thing for every single. Yeah.
Okay. Last comments.
This sucked.
Yay, good job.
It did not suck. It was better. Did not like the twist, but overall a much better plot line than any of the promises.
Yep.
Readable. Like
it was readable. Good praise.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I could not get through the promise. I tried. It was legible. I couldn't read it.
This had more reading how I became yours. Definitely.
Oh no, not
you
that.
Just, you just compare that to the okay, never mind.
Let's, how I became yours.
I've been your main host, Dylan. Do you host have been me? Sam, Mel, Bird, and Allie.
You Todd Monster!
Technical remixes by Luke Tripp, AJ, Kevin, technical directors.
Oh goodness.
Dong Wufeng is owned by Jake.
Oh Jake. Yeah. Where is Jake?
He just has disappeared.
He's around.
Yeah. He still owns it, but he's like dead.
He's not.
He pays
dead.
The bills. That's
I mean,
all that
when I email him saying DF is down, I think he does take care of it. But that's like the only thing. But yeah,
he pays the bills.
He's
and
like our landlord.
He is the landlord. Yeah.
He's our mysterious benefactor.
Ooh,
basically. Yeah. Okay, Allie. Okay. What do you want to end on?
IKEA man.
Okay, we can end on it. That's a pretty good one. Okay.
Well, that's the fastest. That's like the fastest decision we've ever made. Oh my god!
Really talk about it. Ready?
Half the podcast is us deciding this part.
Oh yeah. Anyway, minicast continue until Cora starts. So yeah.
Oh, good. Minicast. Anyway, hot pockets.
No. Well, somebody has hot pockets that they haven't sent me. You know. Okay. 3, 2, 1. IKEA man.
IKEA man.